This is a celebration Sunday. When there's a fifth Sunday in a month, it's our habit to celebrate the Lord's Supper together and to do baptisms and baby dedications and all those great church family things. And today is that day. So welcome to you that are visiting. If you're here to celebrate a friend or a loved one's baptism or baby dedication, welcome. All right, let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this day. You have blessed us in so many ways, and we get to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and celebrate what you have done, what you've done on the cross to die for our sins, to redeem us, to adopt us as your sons and daughters. We get to come and celebrate that. And we get to celebrate things that are going on right now as people are giving their hearts to you, as people are committing their lives and their families to you. We get to celebrate that. Lord, prepare our hearts as we soon will get to celebrate the Lord's Supper here with you. Such a rich and meaningful time. Father, I would pray for those who are sick. I pray especially for Rob in the hospital, and that you would give him health, help him the surgery that's coming up, be with him in that room and help him to recover quickly. I thank you for how well things have gone with Cheryl, and ask that you would give her health and strength and restore her back to going around and helping people and doing all the good things she does. I just pray that you would give her strength. I do pray for my son, Grant, that you would give him health, that you would help Susie, give her strength and endurance through this time, and just bring healing there as well. So, Father, this whole service we commit to you. We are your people, and we are here in your presence. Speak to us this morning as we celebrate these good things. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. We have the Batemans this morning who are going to come and dedicate their two children, Alexis Marie Bateman and Brandon Michael Bateman. If you would come up, family. Trevor and Brandy. And I want to inform you, as those of you that are visiting, that our child dedications are really parent dedications. We try to communicate to the families that there's not anything spiritual that's going to transact when we do this. Some parents think if we have a child dedication, this means their babies are safe and they're good to go at any time. And that's not true. We believe that God gives grace to little ones, but that children need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith, just like an adult does. So what we're doing this morning, and every time we have a child dedication, is we're actually having the parents say that they will raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 tells us we ought to do, and as Deuteronomy 6 tells us the same. So if you have your copy of Scripture, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Many of you are already familiar with this. This is the great Shema, which in Hebrew means to hear. And Moses addresses the children of Israel, and he says in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, Moses is saying to the children of Israel, you have a responsibility to pass on your faith to your children. And the way you do that is to saturate them with the things of God from morning until night. When you get up, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk, when you stand, when you sit, whatever you're doing should be an opportunity to communicate the truths of God and the gospel to your children. And so what the Batemans are doing today is they're coming before you and saying, and before God, we want to do that. We want to raise our children in the instruction of the Lord. And so I'm going to ask them, is that your desire this morning? Yes, it is. I'm going to pray for them in just a moment, but before we do, we want to encourage the body of Christ to be a part of that project of helping raise these little ones in the instruction of the Lord. Now, you don't get the amount of responsibility they do. Only parents have that. But you get a lot of opportunities to influence these little children for the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ. By the way you live, the way you speak, the way you act, everything either confirms Christianity and Christ in their lives or contradicts it. If you are dedicated in your heart to being a good example to these children, and you would dedicate yourself to taking every opportunity the Lord provides you to help them, instruct them in the ways of Jesus Christ, would you indicate that by standing? Let's join together in prayer as we pray for the Batemans. Father, I pray today that as the Batemans come before you in this assembly to dedicate their children to you, that you would give them the grace and the wisdom necessary and the strength and the patience to be good parents, parents who will talk to them, love them, and model Christ for their children. And parents who will instruct them of their need to be saved and to have a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and would look for every opportunity to encourage their children to receive Jesus Christ by faith. We pray you'll give them that wisdom and strength and patience to do those things. We also pray that you will give us the grace to be the examples that you've called us to be, not only for their children, but for all the children who are looking at us and watching us as we live out our days on this earth. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. This is Faith Donnell. Faith, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said yes. Faith, do you desire to be obedient to Christ in your life? Yes, she said yes. Faith, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him by being baptized, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Levi Donnell. Levi, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith? And is it your desire to be obedient to Him in your life?
Yes.
Yes. Levi, because you have professed to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him by being baptized, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. We have two Faiths today. This is Faith Elms and her father here with me. And Faith is going to read her testimony about how she came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior.
Hello, my name is Faith Elms and I'm 8 years old. I'm here today to be baptized because God commands it, and I also want everyone to know that I am a Christian and love the Lord. When I was 5 years old, my family and I went to Spirit West Coast, which is where a lot of Christian bands perform. I listened to the testimony of a very strong man who rolled frying pans like they were tortillas and smashed piles of bricks into tiny pieces. He said that as strong as he was, it wasn't enough to get him into heaven, and the only way to get into heaven was to ask Jesus into your heart. He also said that by doing this, you will be stronger than anyone because you will know what God wants for you, and that God will always be with you to help and guide you. My family was camping at Spirit West Coast, and after we left the strong man, we went back to our trailer to eat lunch. I asked my mom and dad if I could ask Jesus into my heart, and my dad quickly jumped up and helped me say a prayer. That's all it took. My parents were crying, and I wondered why. And they said it was because they were so happy that we would be together forever. I wanted to get baptized right away, but my parents said to wait until I learned more about the Bible. I am older now and know a lot more about the Bible, so that's why I'm here. One day, I hope to go to Russia as a missionary to tell the children in the orphanages about Jesus. I was born in Russia, and I'm so thankful that my parents adopted me and told me about Jesus so I can be with Jesus forever.
I think God has something planned for this little girl. And he told her about it a while back, too. Faith, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith?
Yes.
Yes. And is it your desire to be obedient to him with your life?
Yes.
Yes. Because you have professed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to him by being baptized, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Andrea Gomez. Andrea, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
And is it your desire to be obedient to him by living this? Yes. Because you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to him by being baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Brittany Greer. Brittany, have you received Jesus Christ? Yes. And do you? Because you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Michaela Hart. And her father, Mike Hart. Scoot forward just a bit. Go as far as you can. There you go. Michaela, have you been a Savior?
Yes.
And is it your desire to be obedient to Him with your life?
Yes.
Okay. My little sister, because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ in baptism. Raised to walk a new life. This is Daniel Scarborough. Daniel, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
And do you desire to be to Him?
I do.
Daniel, because you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, you desire to Him and baptize the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is David Scarborough. David, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith?
Yes.
And is it your desire to be obedient to Him? Because you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him, I baptize you, brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Lorraine Scarborough. Lorraine, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you desire to be obedient to Him in your life?
Yes.
And because Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk a new life. This is Kendall Stevens. Scoot forward there just as much as you can. There you go. Kendall, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith?
Yes.
And do you desire to be obedient to Him in your life?
Yes.
Kendall, because you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and because you desire to be obedient to Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk a new life. Let me tell you about Amir. This is Amir Yaz. Scoot forward just a bit there. Amir is a material engineer and works where? Out at the base. Edwards Air Force Base. And he is from Iran. Well, that's where his heritage is from. And he has been attending our Tuesday morning Bible study, men's Bible study, and he's learned more about the faith. And he said the other day, I want to be baptized. I want to know, do this. I want to put my faith forward and profess publicly before others. So please be in prayer for Amir. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ and I've come to know him better over the last several weeks, and it is my delight today to be able to baptize him as a Christian. Amir, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith?
Yes, I have.
And is it your desire to be obedient in your life?
Yes.
Amir, because you have done so, because you have professed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and because you desire to be obedient to him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. This is Ethan Tenderholt, and Pastor Brent is going to baptize Ethan today.
All right. Yeah, this is Ethan, and he went to his parents with a desire to be baptized, and they had him come talk to me. And do you mind if I tell him what you said? I said, "So you want to be baptized, huh?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he wants me to be baptized." Amen. We make it so hard sometimes to obey Jesus, and I just love the faith of these young people. They understand. Jesus wants me to do this. This is what I need to do. So let's do this, Ethan. Ethan, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you desire to be obedient to him and follow his commands?
Yes.
All right. Then, by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is my privilege, little brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters, and then we'll dismiss the children at Children's Church. Father God, you are an amazing Savior. What a wonderful God. What amazing love is this, that you would die for us and adopt us as your very own. Holy Spirit, guide these 12. Guide us all, but guide these 12 especially in the coming days, that they would hunger and thirst for your righteousness more and more each day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are about to receive the Lord's Supper. So let's gather ourselves mentally, spiritually, physically, and prepare our hearts to receive the supper. We'd like to welcome all of you here today who are guests to come see your relatives or friends baptized, and we hope you'll come back and be a part of our fellowship in the future. And I especially wanted to acknowledge Dave and Brenda Austin, who are here today. Would you stand, Dave? Dave and Brenda were very instrumental in the founding of this church and were a part of the body of the Country Oaks for many years, and they moved to Bakersfield and attend Valley Baptist, and we're glad to have them this morning. Thank you for coming and being a part of our fellowship. And Doug is going to come and lead us in family-style Lord's Supper. So Doug, you come and instruct us how to do that.
Just a couple of thoughts as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper this morning. I just got back early this morning at some really terrible hour this morning from Arizona. I went back to see Dallas. He was back. They had four games, two games Friday, two games Saturday. He's playing baseball at a little college called Southwestern College, which is in Phoenix. And they were playing Hastings College out of Nebraska. And by the way, Nebraska's is N-E. That's the little thing on the envelope. So Dallas was telling everybody they're from New England. And That's on tape, Dallas. How do you feel about that? Listen on the internet. Anyway, you know, and many of you know Dallas' story. You've walked with us through this thing. He's gone to, I don't know, six different colleges now and playing baseball and was at Bethany up in Santa Cruz last year playing for a great guy named Thad Bosley. And Bethany closed their baseball program as Dallas' senior year, but Southwestern started their program, hired Thad. Thad calls Dallas, says, come help me start this program. I know you're a senior, but come on down. It's a brand new school. It's a brand new beginning. Come on down and help me with this program. So Dallas transferred because Thad's been a great mentor and just a really good guy, good influence in Dallas's life. And 2 days before Thanksgiving, Thad tells the team, I'm leaving. I got the major league hitting job with the Texas Rangers. And I got to go. Bye. So then Dallas had a coach that didn't even know his name, which was hard if you're a senior to have a coach that doesn't know you. So Dallas had some challenges. And I really thought, since he only had one at-bat last week, got a hit, drove in a run, but one at-bat in three games last weekend, and I figured if he didn't play much this weekend, that boy would have some decisions to make. So I thought I'd go back there as dad, just spend some time with him. Maybe he would have to work some things through. So right after I bought the tickets and was ready to go, he calls me and he says, Dad, I'm going to pitch. I've seen the quality of the pitchers on this team, and I can do this. So he got religion, he converted, became a pitcher, which made Dad really proud. And he threw his first two innings of college baseball, had a pretty good fastball, ran good, moved, you know, that pitcher stuff, sorry to bore you with that. But he pitched two strong innings, and talking to a friend of mine who's a scout, he says, well, it's either the beginning of his career or it's the end of his career, one of the two, but we're going to find this out. I also got to talk to Danny Camacho, who's one of our missionaries. We've supported Danny Camacho for like 22 years, was down in Mexico for many years. Now he actually has a church just outside of Phoenix, and it's a bilingual church. Bilingual Baptist church is what he calls it. And what he's explaining to me was a third of the people in the valley speak only English, and a third of the people speak only Spanish, and a third are bilingual. So he is ministering to that third, and the whole service is bilingual. I mean, his hymnals had Spanish and English of the same song on the opposite pages, and the sermon, he speaks in English, and he speaks in Spanish, and back in English, back in Spanish, and that's who he's ministering to there. So I was looking at what ways we as a church might be able to bless his church in terms of taking a work team down there to Arizona and doing some things around his property. We'll talk to you more about that as time goes on. So it was a good trip, but one of the things about the trip is you stay in a hotel. And you know, we don't watch TV around the house. I mean, we get a Netflix whatever once in a while, and we watch some family movie. But we don't do the TV thing. And so I would be the guy that you would say, Doug, you're out of touch with the culture. And I would say, you're right. I had no idea how out of touch I was. So there I was, you know, surfing through the channels at 10 o'clock at night, trying to get calmed down enough to go to sleep. And of the 25 channels they had in this particular hotel, I mean, eight of them were ESPN. So I had no idea that it was that important, but sports highlights obviously drive the media today. But there are other things that I saw too. I mean, I was shocked by some of the things that were on TV, and I was disheartened by a lot of the other things. Did you know there's an entire network? Think about network. An entire network that's dedicated to guys staying in, watching wrestling, drinking heavy, and looking at women with barely any clothes on. There's an entire network dedicated to that. Look, here's what I came away with there that just was the disturbing part. It looked like if TV either is driving our culture or is a reflection of our culture, either way you want to put it, it looks like our culture has no soul. I mean that in a really important way. Or at least that our culture, the individuals who make up our culture, have no interest in cultivating their soul. And that's not to be us. That we're God's people. So I had the opportunity to fly. Got on a plane, flew with my mentor, A.W. Tozer. Got to read a lot of his writings on the plane. And he was pointing out this passage. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 5. That's verse 6. These are the Beatitudes. You're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with the Beatitudes. And there's one in particular that he was calling us to consider and consider this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And so in thinking that through and thinking of all the things going on, I had a conversation with a great young man who's a catcher, outfielder, really terrific hitter, Bible school guy, wants to be a pastor. And having this conversation with him, he's wanting to talk to me about what it's like being in ministry, and he's got his earbuds in. I mean, for those of you who don't know, that means he has these things stuck in his ears where he's listening to an iPod. He's listening to music. I'm thinking, how do you have a conversation with somebody, when a meaningful conversation, when you're listening to music? That's part of our culture now, is we have to have this stimulation, this entertainment, this constant imagery or music or noise or all the time. And I want to tell you, that is not how we were wired. It's not how we were made by our Creator. So there are two words I want to throw out to you that might have actually some emotional reaction for you this morning. I want you to consider these two words. Here's the first one. Check yourself. See if you have any emotion when I say this word. First word is silence. And the second word is righteousness. We were made for solitude. We were made for silence. We were made to be in God's presence quietly, to listen to Him. There are a lot of wonderful things in the world. Music is a gift. Entertainment has value. All the activity that we do, most of it is probably pretty good. But you know what it does? It keeps us from spending time in solitude and silence, being illuminated, enlightened by God. Because we're just always on the go. If you look at the life of Christ, what you see is very often he withdrew to the top of some mountain somewhere or into the desert somewhere to be quiet with God. And we are made to do that. That is how we are wired. If we want to really nurture our souls, not just ignore our souls, but nurture our souls, we need to spend time in quiet, in solitude, with God, to be illuminated by Him. That's not a Buddhist word. It's a Christian word. To be illuminated by Christ. Turn to John chapter 1. John uses that concept a lot. He says basically, light has come into the darkness. That it's Jesus Christ Himself who brings light into our hearts, into our minds. Illuminates us. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1 says. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And verse 4, look at this. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life was the illumination of men. It's the illumination of our hearts, the illumination of our minds. It comes from Christ. And this light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 9, The true light that gives light, illumination to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own creation, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's us. If you're in Christ, if your faith and trust is in Christ, you've been adopted as God's sons or daughters, to be illuminated by him. But that requires some solitude and some silence to do that. We can't just keep doing that, running from here to there. So I looked at just what was on TV, just this reflection of our society, and I just thought, man, if these people have souls, they have no idea how to nurture them. What do you own that's more important than your soul? Your car, boat, house? There's nothing that we own that's more important than our souls. So please don't let those things be a distraction from nurturing the most important thing that you have. It's your soul. Then the word righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There wasn't a single thing in all that channel surfing, that had anything to do with righteousness. It's nothing. Is there nothing in our culture outside of the church that is looking for righteousness, calling us to righteousness? I couldn't find it. Cairo burning down and the Suns winning a basketball game. Nothing to do with calling us to righteousness. And that here's what Christ says. Blessed are those who crave, hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Here Christ uses something we're familiar with. I mean, it's part of who we are. It's our body, our physical needs, to hunger, the thirst. It's a great teaching tool. I guess it's a metaphor. Is that the word? It's a metaphor. Which are powerful teaching tools. Look at what it is that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Bread and a cup. Here's where this kind of links together. The Bible tells us that Christ is the righteousness of God in the flesh. Righteousness of God. So do we hunger and thirst not just for righteousness, not just for acting rightly, but do we hunger and thirst for the one who is the embodiment of righteousness? Do we hunger and thirst for Christ? When you approach this table, that is the question to ask. Do we hunger and thirst for the one who gave himself for us? Do we hunger and thirst for his Spirit that seeks to fill us and illuminate us? And be our counselor and our teacher and guide us into all truth? Or are we distracted by video games and basketball games and cars and boats and houses? I have the thought, I really have the thought, that God will fill you with whatever it is you truly crave. But you need to be careful what that is that you crave. And here Christ invites you to crave him. And he'll fill you with his Spirit. There's no other reason to gather here today at this table except for Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we do this. He's invited us to come and do this. So let me tell you what it is. We do this, we call it family style freestyle. For lack of any better word, it's an opportunity. Instead of us bringing the plates to you, it's your opportunity, when your heart is right, to come and receive communion up here. There'll be deacons up here, any of the elders that are up here, come on up. And dads, we have always considered you to be pastors in your home. Moms, the encouragers in your home. You get to come and serve your children, serve your family. Come with your family. Come with your friends. If you have a Bible study group that you're a part of, come as a group. If you have accountability partners that you meet with, come with them. come by yourself if that's what you prefer. We're not going to take roll. If what you need before you come up here and have this time with Christ is a couple hours at Mountain Park, go take that time in Mountain Park. Come back tomorrow. We'll serve you communion. When your heart is right, come with those you love, come with those you care about, and come receive the Lord's Supper. He invites you to this. Come and pray with each other. If you want to kneel up here in the front and pray, you're welcome to do that. If you want to just pray quietly at your seats, you're welcome to do that. This is for you as you interact with Christ. Now, all who are Christians are welcome to this table. But the fact of the matter is, there are many of you in this room who are saved, but you're not crazy about it. You're welcome to this table. But it won't be as meaningful for you as those who hunger and thirst for Christ. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want more of God's Spirit. You want more of time with Christ. Here are spiritual truths wrapped into this metaphor, this Lord's Supper. Deep spiritual truths. And the more you crave Christ, the more meaningful this time will be for you. But you are, all of you in Christ are welcome to this table. So let me pray for you. And then when the time is right, in your own heart, you come up and we'll serve you communion. And then you're welcome to pray, or you're welcome to go back to your seats until all are served who will come. And then we're going to commission some new elders. We have a couple of new elders in our church. We're going to have the elders who are up here. We'll spend some time and commission them. And then all together, we'll get to sing a hymn together. And we'll be dismissed. Let me encourage you in this. Christ came to enlighten, illuminate mankind. And he said he was the light of the world. He sends his Holy Spirit to us to illuminate us. To be our counselor, to be our teacher, to guide us into truth, to illuminate our hearts and our minds. And Jesus calls us the light of the world. And when we're dismissed today, that is your commission, to shine as lights in this world, to bring light into the darkness around us, to let the people in this community and in our culture know they not only have souls, but their souls can be changed and born again, that they can spend eternity with Christ. This now is our commission to be lights in the world. So let's pray together. And when you're ready, you come and spend this time with Christ. Lord Jesus, whatever distractions we have, please take them away. Here we are in your presence. We want to hear from you. And so in this silence, speak to us. We have come here into your presence. Teach us. Father, for every man, woman, and child in this room who hungers and thirst for righteousness, fill us. Fill us to the full. Change us, that we would look more and more like Christ every day. Father, I pray for any soul in this room who has never been born again, who does not know you, has never put their faith and trust in you. I pray that right now, as we are here before you in this silence, that they would give their heart, their mind, their soul to you and trust you not only with their life, but with their death and their life after death, that they would trust you fully, that this would be their day of salvation and that they would celebrate this time at your table. Draw us to the cross in our hearts and in our minds. We know we are here in your presence. Reveal yourself to us ever more fully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a couple of new elders that we're going to have a time to just to commission them. And then the deacons take an offering when we have the Lord's Supper. That's called a benevolence offering. And what that goes for, we have people in Tehachapi that are on hard times financially. And all of those funds go to help them get through their hard times. So we'll be taking that offering before we dismiss. And then after we do that offering, then we'll get to sing that hymn together. So if I may, would all the elders please come up? And we'll have this time of commissioning our new elders. The new chairman of our board of elders is Floyd Jones. And so Floyd gets to get the microphone here.
This is a special time that we have, where we get to praise the Lord that He set people aside for special duties. An elder, we all tremble because it's a time that we serve the Lord and we know in ourselves we have no strength, but in the Lord we have all strength. And so at this time, we're dedicating this special time for Pastor Brent, for Craig Bowers, as they step up forward to put themselves especially in the Lord's work, to be that overseer of His congregation, you, taking care of your needs, wherever they've been set aside for. So at this time, if the elders will put their hands on our two candidates, our new elders, and let us pray. Dear Lord, we commission these two, especially to your work, that they'll be found faithful, that they'll be diligent at your work, that we, the other elders, will support them and take care of whatever needs they need at whatever time it comes up. Bless your name, because we know in your name only, your strength only, that they can do your good will. Bless and keep them. In Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen.
We also have Jerry Montgomery. Is he here this morning? Jerry, are you here? He's back teaching Sunday school. He's also another elder that's come on board. He's been an elder in the past, but he's taken a leave of absence a few times, and he's back with us this time. So be in prayer for Jerry Montgomery, as he's also helping lead the church. All right?
Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Let me just remind you, clarify that the men's ministry, Ironworks, is tonight at 5:30. Next week is that NFL thing. So Ironworks is tonight at 5:30. Join us for that, men. Let's pray together and then go and share the gospel with someone this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for all that we have to celebrate in you. We thank you. So, Father, fill us. Illuminate us. Empower us to be light in this world. Father, show us to whom we might share the gospel this week. With whom? Who do you have that you're going to bring into our path this week, that we can share the good news of salvation with? We look forward to that time and ask that you would use us. Father, use us in our homes. Help us to be the fathers and mothers that you want us to be, the husbands and wives that you call us to be. Help us to be the sons and daughters of God that you have adopted us to be, out of your grace and mercy. Come with us, Lord, as we leave this place. Walk with us through this week. Let us walk with you. Show us where we're going. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.